Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, June 5th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my wonderful twin brother, John Abaya.
Hello.
How are you, John?
I'm okay. I just got done being sick, so I think I'm not sick anymore. I don't know.
Okay. And we have a guest today who is a co-host for the Cracking the Vault podcast and the Capeless Crusaders podcast. Welcoming to our podcast, Amy Nunag.
Hi, guys.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly? Just making sure.
You did. It's new like a new car, nag like a nagging wife. You can totally blame my husband for that because it is just ugh.
So welcome. I think you're new to this podcast, but I believe I'll admit I haven't listened to the Capeless Crusaders, and I listened to a handful of the Cracking the Vault. But John was the one that turned me on to your Cracking the Vault podcast, and I found it really funny. And although I don't know what you guys are talking about because I'm not really a comic book like aficionado, but I really enjoy your guys' like chemistry. It's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the Kraken Vault's been around. We just finished our 100th episode, where if you got a chance to listen to our 50th, we did a version of Family Feud and Jeopardy and a couple of other things. And so our 100th was almost like a repeat, but we did it with, instead of two teams, we did it with three teams of three, and it turned into sheer and utter madness.
That sounds fun.
So it was really... It was. It was. We were up until probably midnight. We started at 9. And so we did all in one shot. But
wow.
Needless to say, there are some faux pas and hiccups. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I had a couple of faux pas and some slip ups that if anybody listens to, my nerd card might be taken away. But I'm okay with that.
I don't think so. If anything, mine would be taken away like the first like probably 30 minutes or so, even less. But welcome. Maybe. And what's your other podcast, The Capeless Crusaders, about?
Oh, the Capeless Crusaders is kind of an everything about comics podcast. It's usually 30-minute episodes.
Oh, wow.
So you don't get the length. Yeah, they're really short. You don't get the length that you do with Cracking the Vault, which can be anywhere from 90 minutes and up. It depends on what we're doing over there. But with the Capeless Crusaders, we are very consistent. We also do it on, you can watch us on YouTube and Facebook and actually see what's going on, because there's a lot of animation from the guys on that team with me. And so I'm their first female crusader, and it's kind of an honor, and like wrangling monkeys, but the best kind of monkeys, the ones that don't throw poop. And I'm okay with that.
But yes, you can find those two podcasts on either like iTunes, I'm assuming Stitcher and other podcasts, apps, I'm assuming too. So yeah, Cracking the Vault and the Capeless Crusaders. But thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, cool. Thank you. For those who are new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is one of the most anticipated films of this year, that is Wonder Woman. But before all of that is our trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is the film Seven Sisters.
In the last 50 years, we've doubled our population. Every 4 days, there's a million more people on the planet. It is the biggest crisis in human history.
Dr. Nicolette Kamen has prompted the Federation to institute a one child per family policy.
And making a better future for our children.
How do you plan on hiding this?
I'll manage.
Have you thought about names?
There are seven. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So on IMDb, for those who don't know, it's Internet Movie Database. This is their plot synopsis, and it could be a little bit convoluted. In a world where families are limited to one child due to overpopulation, a set of identical septuplets must avoid being put into a long sleep by the government and dangerous in fighting while investigating the disappearance of one of their own. That just sounds a little bit confusing, because how do you have one child? Amy, you asked this question of why they only could have one child. I couldn't explain it well off air. But overall, what did you think about this film, or at least the trailer, I mean?
Well, for what I saw, I'm always for trying out a new dystopian sci-fi reality type of movie. I was really confused why it had to be seven sisters, but I'm okay. I'll deal with that. It looks like it has Glenn Close and Willem Dafoe, which absolutely adore Willem Dafoe, so I tend to want to see this. I really liked some of the scenes, especially, and I felt really bad for all the kids trapped in there that they can only go out one day a week. But I think I'm kind of interested in watching it. I don't know if I'm going to go run to the movie theater and watch it, but I know I will get around to it sooner or later, if that's a good thing.
Well, funny that you mentioned about movie theaters. This is actually a, I just did some research. It's a Netflix film, so it's supposed to be on Netflix.
I'm safe.
Yeah. and I forgot to mention, it's directed by Tommy Wirkola. I cannot pronounce that last name. I apologize. He's from Norway. You might know him from a film called Dead Snow he directed, and Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Do you guys remember that film?
Yes.
And it's
I remember seeing an advert for it.
Yeah, me too. And it stars Noomi Rapace, William Dafoe, and Glenn Close, what Amy just mentioned. But John, how about you? What's your thoughts about the trailer? Knowing that you and I are twins, it's kind of cool to see seven children look alike in a film, right? I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. It's cool that they're identical twins or septuplets. I was kind of confused too, like Amy, of like why there's only one child. I don't think they do the best job explaining that part, like the reason. It kind of reminds me of, I mean, it seems like each twin is like a different personality, and it has that feel of that one other show that has like seven clones. What is it called? It has
Orphan Black.
Yeah, Orphan Black. But I mean, it's a different premise altogether, but it's one actress basically playing the seven different parts, and each one looks different, stuff like that. I'm interested in that, just how she can, you know, different range of her acting and stuff like that. And I'm wondering too if other people are doing this besides that family. I don't know if other people are hiding other sets of twins or whatever. And it's just really confusing when I was watching the trailer. But I can't tell too if it's an action movie, more like all of them know how to fight basically, or only like one or two of them and the other one know other things like hacking and stuff like that, or other abilities too. Or was that one, because Ben, you told me before the title was originally called What Happened to Monday, and I thought that was a better title because it made it more mysterious, because I feel like when you say Seven Sisters, it just says like, it's, to me it screams out more like a action movie than more like a mystery. I don't know. If it wasn't going on Netflix, I probably wouldn't watch it. Because it's on Netflix, I'll give it a shot because it's right there ready on my TV. I don't have to do anything. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it actually.
Yeah, I'm probably echoing almost the same reactions. I think I'm a little bit more excited because of Noomi Rapace. And I think she's like a really great actor. I don't know if you guys watch the Millennium trilogy, you know, the girl with the dragon tattoo. And
oh, yeah. Yeah,
so she was the star in that. And of course, Prometheus, if you recognize her from there. She was Elizabeth Shaw. But yeah, it's a highbrow concept. I'm like, I don't know if they could pull it off. Like the last film that did this type of film trickery was Multiplicity with the great Michael Keaton. I know, like that didn't do well, and that was Michael Keaton. Like he's a really great actor, and he couldn't even pull that off really well. And other than that, I think just having seven characters played by the one actress is kind of cool. And I think one thing I really liked is the music in the trailer. It kind of built the tension with the horns and whatnot. It just reminded me like a Christopher Nolan like Batman or Inception type of music or score. But other than that, yeah, probably looking forward. Probably this might be a main discussion in a future episode. But it's going to be on Netflix soon, so look out for that.
Did it have a date?
No, it didn't say anything. That's the weird part. It's like, yeah, they have all this. I think everything is pretty much done from what I researched, but they're just looking for a right time to release the film on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. So moving on from that, John, what have you been doing this past week?
So I've been catching up on a comic book that I was only interested after watching a TV show. The TV show I watched was Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. basically this season. They had like a plot about when Hydra, it's a what if plot. I don't want to get into the story of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mentioned it in the past episodes, but one of their plots was a what if plot if Hydra took over, basically. And the comic book I read or read up to right now, I think there's only three issues right now, is Secret Empire. Secret Empire is written by Nick Spencer. He is one of my favorites of, he wrote the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, and he currently writes Morning Glory. So those are two comic books I read. So I'm not like a huge, like Captain Marvel, or even like when they do these events, I mostly subscribe only to Spider-Man, and that's it. Amazing. So I only got interested only because what happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then someone told me, oh, if you like this, you will probably want to read this. So I started reading it, and it's what I didn't expect. Like, it really it's basically, I mean, everyone knows the news about this, right? Like, Ben, I know you don't keep up with comic books.
No, I don't. I don't know anything.
So you don't know anything about Secret Empire at all?
Yeah.
Okay. I know Amy does.
I can give you a brief synopsis.
Oh, yes.
Please right now.
Okay, so I'm getting this from Wikipedia, only because it's easier to explain for me. The storyline basically deals with Hydra taking over the Marvel Universe after Captain America was revealed to be a secret or sleeper agent under Hydra's command. There's a reason why. I don't want to really say why he became a secret agent. It explains it in the three issues, basically. But I found it interesting. It's basically the government, or America mostly, it seems like, it's just taken over by Hydra. And then there are little packs of, you know, heroes trying to defend it. But there's also some heroes actually helping Captain America try to get Inhumans, basically. Because Inhumans are a threat. And so they're trying to round up some humans and trying to stop them. So that's how far I'm into the comic books. If you like those type of plot lines, I don't know. That's why. So like I said earlier, I don't know anything before this. Like, I never read, what was that one before this? Civil War 2. So I don't know that actually leads into this or anything like that. I feel like there are parts they mention, especially Miles Morales, the other Spider-Man, mentions that he was destined to kill Captain America. And then I am missing like parts in the story. So it doesn't really distract me, but I'm wondering, what does he mean by that? Like, why was he destined? And it seems like if I read probably Civil War 2, I had a better understanding. And there is stuff in here. So I haven't read like anything, what's really going on. I hear snippets of what's happened to Marvel. I didn't know what happened to Tony Stark, mm-hmm. Iron Man in this. I won't say what happened to him if people are like interested. I was really surprised what happened to him. I was like, and then there's I know there was like a new Hulk, so I knew that, mm-hmm. but that I didn't know really what happened to the past Hulk, so that was interesting too for me. And I haven't seen Spider-Man, so I don't know, or did I? I'm trying to remember if I seen Spider-Man in there. These in the comic books, or the current one, they don't really cross over with Secret Empire, so I don't know if he's a big part in this one or not. But right now, I'm kind of enjoying it. I want to see how... Oh, and there was like a big reveal in, I think, issue 2 that just kind of makes me wondering what's happening in this world. And I think I know what's kind of happening because of after reading Superior Spider-Man, that book, basically Superior Spider-Man. I said it in this podcast in the past, is basically Dr. Ock takes over Spider-Man's body. I'm wondering if it's something similar to that in this thing. Maybe not, but it's just... I don't know. It's just I'm just want to see how this ends. Amy, have you read any issues of Secret Empire?
I actually have, because I have to keep up with it. So your main question about if people want to know kind of what happened to the old Hulk, or mm-hmm. Or with Cap and his turn towards Hydra, a lot of it does turn up in Civil War 2.
Okay.
specifically also what happens with Tony. You see transition into a different book, but what's happening right now is Sam Wilson, Captain America, Deadpool, I almost said Miss the Mighty Captain Marvel.
Oh, yes.
And there's one other that I'm missing off the top of my head. There's Secret Warriors and the Secret Empire Uprising. So all of those are tying into Secret Empire because of what they did with Cap. So needless to say, it's a little, it's pulling a Civil War kind of thing too. When Civil War II came out, they transitioned a lot of their books were directly tied into Civil War, but it took a little time. So they almost paused the storyline, the arc they were originally on, and then jumped on a Civil War one. Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is the other one that's currently tying in, but they're doing it very slowly to try to integrate everybody into the Secret Empire. Marvel really likes events, and we can't really stop them. So we just go along for the ride.
They're one of the reasons why I kind of stopped buying events book. I subscribed to Spider-Man, and he had an event book. Oh, no, not just Spider-Man. Avengers versus X-Men. And I got all their issues. And then I felt like, oh, I didn't really need like half of these. So I was like, so now I'm just trying to see which events books that I'll be interested in. And then this one came up because of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I was like, oh, this is like kind of up my alley and stuff like that. Like you said, like if I didn't read Secret Empire, like you mentioned too, Doctor Strange. I was like, what is happening in Doctor Strange? Or in this part of this in New York? Like, what is this? So I have to I cheated and went to Wikipedia and just read that real quick. And then because I really don't have time to read so much stuff at once. So I have to just get the the cheat sheet basically. But I'm enjoying Secret Empire, but just by itself right now.
Yeah, usually the standalone titles for the events is really good too.
I was going to say I have no idea what you guys are talking about right now. Sorry. But it sounds interesting, and it sounds like I should invest more time. I haven't been catching up with even the own comics books I'm reading, like Saga or Paper Girls or whatnot. It's interesting to hear these recognized names because of what is happening with the film part of it, and it's like, oh wow, they are really building a lot of things, stories in the comic book world. That's pretty cool though. At least they have something to keep you on your toes, I guess, if you are invested in all those titles. How about you, Amy? Have you done anything or recommend anything this week?
Well, usually I would recommend a comic book, but I need to save it, so I'm gonna hold off on that. But I finally did a double whammy because I've been ill, so I got caught up on my Doctor Who.
I'm jealous. I haven't watched one episode of Doctor Who, and that was it. I was like, oh, I can't catch up.
Which one did you watch?
The first one when they introduced that. It was I watched Doctor Who with my kids, and then I watched it and they're not really paying attention. And this is the first episode they actually pay attention to for this season of Doctor Who. The first one with the scary water monster girl, and they got really scared. I was like, no, normally they're not this scary, but they kind of got turned off by it because of that one episode. No, come back. But I don't have BBC, so that episode was free on BBC.com. So I have to wait until it hits Netflix or wherever streaming device. It's kidding.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That one, that was written by Steve Moffat. And so it transitioned back to when it's Steve Moffat, if you were an old Doctor Who fan, in the transition of everything that goes up, he's very let's intrigue you. Let's get you hooked with the cute moments in there that are fun and lighthearted. And then he just sucks you in and you're like, I can't handle it. So I'm caught up. I believe we're up to episode 7.
Wow. It's already the 7th episode.
It's going, it's moving quick. Yeah. So there was a big event that happened to the Doctor 3 episodes prior, and that's where I had stopped before I was able to catch them, last week when I couldn't catch up. And so it actually, these three episodes that I watched yesterday, it transitioned into a really interesting problem that we've never really seen the Doctor have. Bill, who is his new companion, she's fantastic as always, and so is Matt Lucas, who's Nardal, and I had the hardest time remembering who he was until he brought up, he made reference to River Song, who is hands down one of my favorite characters ever to come out of that entire franchise.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Sorry. I can't get enough of Alec Kingston, but it was lighthearted, but very, very genuine. And there were problems that it dealt with conquest, but conquering in like by fear or in fear isn't the way that basically there's an alien race. I'm going to try to keep as not spoilery as I can, but there's an alien race that has been controlling our planet for eons. And we find out that we are not ourselves, if I can say it that way. Mm-hmm. But their whole goal is to conquer us. And they will only conquer us if we consent to be ruled by them, and it's consent out of love and not fear or strategy or all these other things. And so it's in a situation whenever the world is in grave danger, the doctor is the president. So it has to be somebody with power that gives consent out of love to basically enslave the entire human race. And needless to say, it left it on a cliffhanger, and I'm just sitting here going, why?
So, that's how they hook you.
So needless to say, I gotta wait an entire week. I mean, this is even worse than last season where we had oh my gosh, I can't remember her name. She's from Game of Thrones.
Oh yes, I like her character. I forgot her name too. Maybe. W. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, the little sister, the little Stark.
Yes.
Yeah, the little Stark with Needle.
Well, the littlest daughter, or the because they still have
youngest,
the son.
The youngest daughter. <All right. laughs> That one's out. Let's not talk about that child. But I would, so backtracking to where I was going, I would totally recommend Doctor Who, especially this season. It picked up a lot from last season. I had a few more problems than necessary last season. So this one I'm really excited to see. It's been great so far. I am trapped on the edge of a cliff waiting for this thing to come to fruition, or at least make me go, oh, okay, oh, no way. So yeah, that's for me.
Oh man, like I'm so behind with Doctor Who. It's just kind of cool to listen to you guys like talk about it. I have not watched any of the run with what's his name?
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah. I can't find time, and the fact like I just can't find time. It's really tough for me. But I like the last time this happened, I binged through it. I think it was like the last season of
Matt Smith.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I bitched through, but I'm looking forward. I heard like good things about the new Doctor, and even like the new companions and whatnot. So I'm looking forward. There's one day I'll probably binge through it. I'm not gonna hope that I'm gonna get sick, but once I do get sick, I'll probably just binge through it. But it feels like when you guys get sick, you guys do a lot more stuff than I would have done.
Amy, what's your favorite doctor, or who's your favorite doctor?
This is one of those explanation needed. So my first doctor was Tom Baker. So I'm talking back in the day, Jelly Babies. I started almost as far back as I could get before Hulu put all of the doctors on there. Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely adored how he like just embodied this like childlike but super smart and really crafty. So I love Tom Baker, but Tennant was my first doctor, like official, where I was just all in it to win it. And I was upset about Matt Smith initially, but I'm an Amy. And so when Amy and Rory showed up, I'm sorry, I'm not really giving spoilers away. It's a little old, but hey.
Yeah.
I felt really akin to those characters, to Amy in particular, and my daughter's name is Rory.
Whoa,
so I'm a walking Doctor Who.
Cool.
I'm a walking Doctor Who joke.
Did you name her after Rory, or it just happened? Like
the goal was supposed to be the goal. Oh my gosh, that was really bad. If it was going to be a boy, we were going to have a boy. He would have been named Rory or Remy. So he'd either be named after Gambit or Either way, he was going to have some type of, you know, fictitious character tie-in. Mm-hmm. So when we found out we were having a girl, we named her Aurora, but she doesn't respond to Aurora unless she's in trouble. She only responds to Rory. So yeah, I can put stickers on us and says, hello, my name is Amy, and hello, my name is Rory, and
that's
I'm totally
cool.
Set.
I didn't even, that just came to my, like glued together to me right now. That's cool. Do you have anyone named River Song? Oh no.
When I lived in Alaska, there was a friend I had whose name was River, but
what?
It was not River Song.
That's crazy.
And she really liked Doctor Who. It was great.
Are you sure you're not a doctor?
I've only got two TARDISes over here. I only got two TARDISes at Oblivion, and one's like a teacup. So I'm not too sure just yet. I'll have to get back.
I feel like your husband's a companion, and so you're not telling us what's happening right now.
I can't.
That's kind of cool. I like that story. So it's how many episodes left for this season? Like three more, right?
We usually do about 13.
Oh, is it 13
per season?
Oh, yeah, it is 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's encroaching on regeneration time, and so there's lots of talk in the Hooniverse, because I can't say Hooniverse, it's just weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
for us having a female doctor, and if we are having a female doctor, can we get Haley Atwell, aka Agent Carter, to come in and be our doctor?
Cool.
She'd be fantastic. It would be fantastic. I'm not gonna lie. I would forsake all of my love for the other doctors, and she would find out, put a seal on it.
Has she,
be my doctor?
Has she played a character in the series before, though? Like in the Doctor Who series? No, she hasn't. You know, like sometimes there's some actresses
remember.
That would like. I think it was
like Amy. Yeah, Amy did that.
Yeah,
Did Peter Capaldi.
Yeah. The same episode.
They were in the same episode. Yeah. She was one of the. She was one of
the
for the Oracles.
Yeah,
and then he was the one he saved, and so I believe. One of the directors or executive producers came out and said that the doctor can regenerate into anybody he's seen throughout his entire lifetime. And so I'm like, oh, really? This is interesting. Tell me more. And so it's a question of really who he decides to be, because right now, this is kind of spoilery, so put on your earmuffs if you don't want to hear about it. But the master is now the mistress, because he regenerated into a woman. And she's a fantastic character. Like, the master as a whole is a fantastic character to watch. But as a woman, she's so feisty and flirty and silly and, like, conniving. It's something I didn't think I would see, and I'm so excited to.
I didn't even know that the master would be a woman.
Yep.
I'm told you it was spoilery.
I know, it's okay. I don't really mind spoilers, because I still think I'll get the same reaction, even if I wouldn't even know which episode it would be.
Actually, I'm not going to spoil that one at all. Because you don't see her coming. You never see the master coming, and now as the mistress, you don't expect where she shows up, and you're like, oh no, she's been in all of those episodes and I didn't notice.
Cool. I shouldn't even like IMDb or like Wikipedia.
No, don't even see okay. who plays
don't
her.
Do it.
Okay, cool.
Don't you even think it.
Moving on, really quickly, I watched something on Netflix. As you guys know, it's Pride Month. For those listeners who don't know, it's about it's for the LGBTQ+ community, and it's their month. It's everyone's month in a sense of like anyone could celebrate it. You don't have to be part of that community, but as long as you support that community. So I watch a film. It's by a Korean American director named Andrew Ahn. It's titled Spa Night. 나는 어떻게라도 살아보려고 죽어라고 일하는데 어떻게 이렇게 맨날 술에 쩌들어서 살아? last year, my favorite film was Moonlight. This has no like connection to Moonlight. It just has a similar title. But it's about a Korean-American immigrant family struggling to survive in America. And their son is a teenager, but he's trying to go to college, but they're struggling with his, payment to go to college. And he's not like a bright and smart fellow, but he is very like passionate about like supporting his family and whatnot, and he hasn't told his family that he is gay. So this is not really much of like a coming out story. It's more like a coming of age story, because it does deal with more than just his like sexuality. It deals with like his tradition, his Korean tradition, his expectation as like their only son, and basically just him finding himself in this world, specifically America, and what he wants to do, because there's this expectation, and mostly like I'm not like stereotyping like just Asian families, but most Asian cultures, and I'm coming from a Filipino culture where parents tend to have like these expectations on you when you're young to be a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer.
A nurse.
Yeah, a nurse.
Yes, nurse.
Yeah, and then so with this community, the Korean community, they also have these high expectations, which he does not like live up to. Well, he doesn't want to live up to them because he's a little bit more different than just your, you know, average Korean son. So but yeah, I don't want to ruin anything, but it is a very like remarkable, fascinating film. It's very beautiful in a sense, like if you watch Moonlight, if you like that cinematography, it's indicative to that. But overall, yeah, if you are into films about coming of age, I highly recommend it, especially if you are a person from immigrant descent, like especially if your mom and dad has migrated here from another country. I think you would relate to this story really well, especially from like a family that's struggling in America. So that is Spa Night. It's on Netflix, and I highly recommend the film. Wow. Yeah. Moving on. So our main discussion, so this week's main discussion is a most anticipated film for, I believe, this summer, I think. Mm-hmm. Justice League doesn't come out this summer, right? No.
It comes out this fall.
Yeah, this fall. So this is, for myself, this is one of the most anticipated films this summer. This week's main discussion is Wonder Woman.
What is your mission?
To stop the war.
What war?
The war to end all wars.
Weapons far deadlier than you can ever imagine.
The war can be ours.
Whoever you are in more danger than you think.
I cannot stand by while innocent lives are lost.
Be careful, Diana.
Who is this woman?
She's my secretary, sir. She's a very good secretary.
So this film is directed by Patty Jenkins, who directed Monster, which gave Charlize Theron a Academy Award. I highly recommend watching that. It's on Hulu. This film stars Gal Gadot as Diane Prince, aka Wonder Woman, Chris Pine as Steve Trevor, Connie Nelson as, I'm not even trying to talk, can you guys help me with these names actually?
Hippolyta.
Yeah,
And Robin Wright as Amy
and Tiffany.
At Tiffany. I was going to say Antiope. So thank you for that correct pronunciation.
I don't speak ancient Greek, but I'm working on it.
you're doing it really. You're better than I am right now. So on IMDb, the plot synopsis is: before she was Wonder Woman, she was Diane, princess of the Amazons, trained warrior. When a pilot crashes and tells a conflict in the outside world, she leaves home to fight a war to end all wars, discovering her full power and true destiny. So, Amy, I invite you here not because you're only a woman, but because you are also very into comic books, and I wanted someone who knows the material well, and at least who I don't even know if you know the material well, but I know we read comics, and I just wanted someone who is in that field or that field, but like who you know is into comic books. Give us your thoughts about the film. So, what's your thoughts about the film? And did you find it incredible, and did it live up to any expectations you had?
Well, strap yourselves in, because it's going to get very, very interesting. So Diana Prince, aka Wonder Woman, is probably one of my absolute favorite superheroes of all time. So I was lucky enough to snag fan passes to see the screening 2 weeks before it came out.
Whoa, oh, wow. I should have just gotten you 2 weeks ago, but we would have not even watched it yet.
No one would have known. It would have been terrible. So I've been literally, this is the first time I'm actually getting a chance to review this besides being inside of my field. Yeah. So I'm really excited. I'm trying to keep it down. And I saw it a second time on opening night because it just, I couldn't. But I pigeonholed it, so I got the early bird. They considered it an early bird, so my ticket was cheaper. I don't know what happened, but it was awesome, and I appreciate it. So that, first off, it blows everything DC has done currently. I think only one thing that it can kind of stand muster to would be the Dark Knight series. But it's blown BVS, Man of Steel, all of those out of the water, utterly out of the water.
Suicide Squad too.
Not only with
no, I have to bring that up because that's
my... I left that one off the chopping block on purpose.
Okay.
Because I'm not
going to
touch that one at all.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it.
No, this is supposed to be about Wonder Woman.
Yes. So continue on.
I loved it. There were a couple of parts that I didn't really like, but it didn't hurt me so much where I'm like, oh, this is a travesty and run out of the movie theater. There were a lot of moments that I saw from the comic books where panels and types of her were explored. Wait, can I get spoilery or no?
Oh, no. Yeah. That's one thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, and so I'm keeping it very broad. But they delved into, in the opening, when they're on Themyscira and they're showing you being brought up from childhood, there were points from year one, which is a Wonder Woman book. And there was a couple of scenes that were specifically from Rebirth, the new run for Wonder Woman that I like, oh my gosh, I saw. There are a couple of characters that are only mentioned in the comic books that were actually called out by name during trainings and while they were moving across the island itself. And then Robin Wright is Antiope. I called her Antiphon for a long time, and it's Antiope. She's fantastic. She's utterly fantastic. I mean, nobody expects Princess Buttercup to come out and be so just absolutely bananas.
I was going
like,
to mention
she's amazing.
That Princess Buttercup.
She was one of the surprise, really one of the surprise performances for me, because I was like, oh, I don't know, it's Robin Wright, and then she just, I was just like, you're my
she's
favorite.
Back on
I love
the horse
you.
And all things she's, are better. Oh. Yeah.
It's so good. Gal Gadot did absolutely fantastic. There was a sequence, and everybody's seen the memes or with the sword down her back in the dress. That dress is actually Linda Carter's dress from the TV show.
That is awesome.
And so,
I didn't know that.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that too.
Yeah, and so she also looked, they did a side-by-side shot at the Wonder Woman premiere with Linda Carter and her, and they look, and then they put them both as Wonder Woman down in the farther corners, and they look almost identical. So they have the same presence and the same kind of facial structure and the same, like, just empowered look. So a couple of things that I had wrong, and I'm going to try to stay as far back from that spoiler gate as I can. the choice on how she has her power, they mentioned two different origins in the movie. And so there's one origin that's been around probably since before they decided to do the New 52. DC released the New 52, where they went down the second path. And Rebirth has corrected that. But so it was kind of frustrating for me to see that in the movie played out the way that it did. But I'm not hemming and hawing entirely. And then also the war to end all wars. Technically in Wonder Woman mythology is not where she meets Steve Trevor. It's the wrong war. So I was trying to stay really calm because that frustrated me a lot. And it was really difficult, man. It was so difficult. But overall, the cinematography in this is absolutely gorgeous. It takes a lot that you learn from Snyder, how he likes everything dark and gritty, and it gradually works its way, like with color and light, from light to dark, but not like too deep that you can't see or you're like squinting at the screen because it's way too dark and you're trying to figure out who's who. There are lots of moments where she stood apart from people on purpose, and it created not just definition on the screen, but it was also to represent the definition of herself versus everyone else and how she's not like everyone else. And then her supporting cast, kind of regardless of who they were. I mean, Steve Trevor, I like Chris Pine, I'm not gonna lie, he's adorable, but there was just too much like Chris Pine shenanigans, so I was like, eh, thanks buddy, you're awesome. And then when he died, I was like, why didn't you just relieve yourself from that situation where you die?
Wait,
by,
he died?
And I
no,
can't...
I'm playing. No, I'm just playing.
Not again, man. but you're both well aware of how he died.
Yeah.
And my concept was there could have been an easier way that we did that where you lived, by releasing yourself.
Yeah.
Did he though die? Like, maybe...
Officially?
Something happened where he went into like a portal or something. I don't know.
Whoa, John.
Maybe we could, somebody could have just like pulled him out of there and he could be, hanging out with the Fantastic Four at this junction.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Or
someone
which
is
who's
Marvel, we're crossing over.
Or I could think someone who could be like, incredibly fast, who could probably time travel. And probably, future Wonder Woman might have asked him to bring him along somehow. I don't know. I'll just.
Hey, say, there was no invisible jet.
continue on if you
So there was a couple things that I wanted to see tweaked, but the supporting cast and especially some of the bit parts turned out to be so much fun and have so much levity. Etta Candy was short redhead that you see in the trailers, and she says that she's Steve's secretary. She is adorable and quick and just really spry and lively with all of her responses. And then the person who turns out to be the God of War, Ares, who is still my favorite villain in all of comic books, is such a good turn.
Yes.
That it was like, right? It was a great turn. And I loved it. They keep saying Maru, but we can't know if it's Maru or Maru because people say it different ways.
That was confusing, yeah.
She's a villain from... I think she's a villain from the end of the New 52, right, and rolling in towards Rebirth. That was a little bit of an odd choice, but I see kind of what they wanted to do with where they were running. And so overall, I give it 2 thumbs up for me. I'm going to try to wrap myself so I don't say anything
else. It's okay.
But I really enjoyed it. Again, I've seen it twice. I'll probably go back and see it a third time. It's really empowering. And even though we get towards the end and the theme they decide to use is kind of hokey, like the way she says it is kind of hokey, it has such weight. And it's not supposed to just be like, you know what she says, only a certain thing is how we can truly find peace. And I kind of understood it. But when I first heard it, I was like, what? Wait, what? Like, you're going with that theme? Oh, okay. So it was really... I didn't expect it, but there's so much empowerment across the board. It helps that I'm a woman and I've been waiting to see my princess, my Amazon, the strong, fierce, amazing, brilliant, beautiful woman on the screen, and seeing her portrayed in such a loving manner that I didn't think I expected that to be the final like takeaway. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. I've come to accept it now after my second viewing. So it's not as frustrating. But yeah, I loved it. I have really no qualm against it. I do a little bit. Okay, I do, but not that bad.
I'm going to echo almost everything you said, actually. I really, really love this film. I took my parents to watch it because they were fans of the Linda Carter years of Wonder Woman. And for listeners, the Philippines have like their own version of the Wonder Woman called Darna, which is exactly the same.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they have exactly the same character traits and everything, just a Filipino version. And I think the creator of Darna even spoke about like how he was inspired by Wonder Woman. And then he just wanted the Philippines to have their own version of it. And that's kind of cool. And I think they're even relaunching that series because of the success of Wonder Woman for the past couple of years.
Her hat is so funny though.
Yeah. but yeah, I love this film. I love the boldness. I love how exceptional the experience was, like seeing a woman being the hero and not needing like it seems like the roles were kind of switched where the men were mostly the damsel. It's really great to see that on screen. And I love how they created this mythos, especially her dynamic with that world. What's the island called? It's not longer called Paradise.
Themyscira.
Yeah, Themyscira.
Oh, he calls it Paradise. Steve Trevor says it's Paradise Island once.
Okay.
So he made a nod to it, but it's called Themyscira.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a great world building. It reminded me of when they showed Krypton a Man of Steel. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like they're kind of using that formula in like when it comes to these origin stories, but they built a lot into it. You could tell like they work hard into building that world, like the depths to it. How meticulous like and kinetic the action was. Like that was, I won't say what the scene is, but I would say what the scene is called. It's the film No Man Land. No Man's
Land. Oh, the No Man Land scene.
Oh, yes, yes. That one, like, I had goosebumps. And even the scenes after that with the village and everything, like, that was incredible. Like, I didn't felt like that way since probably, and this is really high praise, because my favorite film is Superman, the movie, the Richard Donner film.
Nice.
So there's a lot of parallels with that movie, with this one, that I noticed, like, how when she first arrived in London, how sort of like not naive in a sense, but like how innocent she was and how mm-hmm. clumsy she was, like entering the rotating door like that. Mm-hmm. I remember there's a scene, exactly the same scene. I don't know if Patty Jenkins
gets stuck right in the door.
Yeah, like yeah. I was thinking about, did Patty Jenkins like just redid that scene but with Wonder Woman? It's kind of cool. And then like how she saved Steve from in the alley with the bullet scene, and I'm like, whoa, this is like exactly mm-hmm. how Christopher Reeve was in Superman. So I was like, this is kind of cool, like she has these little nods to it. And I love mm-hmm. also how hopeful it was, like that's how yes. I felt with Superman the movie. And like with Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, there's a slight hopefulness, but not all the way there. There's a lot of like cynicalism because of what is happening in mm-hmm. that world, and a lot of buildings just blowing up and everything, where you're like, oh, this is not as hopeful as I wanted it to be. But with this one, I just felt very hopeful. Like I felt like, I don't know, it just, I have even goosebumps like thinking about it right now. That's like, this is incredible what they did with this character. And you didn't need this is not like to diminish like Marvel films, but you don't need like a lot of I guess like cameos or shout outs to other films or other characters. Like it was strictly just exclusively like just Wonder Woman. Like you have Bruce Wayne in the beginning, but like you didn't have any mm-hmm. other characters in there that were from the other films, you know, like that's connecting to it, I guess. And it's just strictly just her film, and I really, really love that. Other than that, I love the humor, and I love the little humor, not the little, but like the slight humor they have. Like it wasn't like every scene had a punchline. Mm-hmm. So it's a remarkable film. Patty Jenkins did a really, really great job. It's really cool after 10 years she came back from a indie film and making this big budget film and making a lot of money right now. It's I think it's earned already $100 million in domestic box office. So that just creates more film opportunities for Patty Jenkins and just female directors overall. And that just also proves that you don't have to be a man to make these films too, because I think when people yeah. think of action, they think of men. When you have someone like what's her name? Bigelow, Catherine Bigelow, who made like Zero Dark Thirty, or what's the first movie she made with the surfers? They went undercover. Totally forgot.
Oh, Point Break. Oh.
Point Break. Yeah, yeah. Point Break.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm right. I remember.
Yeah. So like a lot of people forgot like she made that movie too. But otherwise, yeah. So John, how about you? What are your thoughts on the film?
I kind of echo both of your reviews, basically. I just watched the movie probably like, say, 8 hours ago, you could say. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very fresh. My impressions are very fresh. I really like it too. It's my favorite DC movie besides, like you, Amy said, besides like the Nolan stuff. But the new universe that DC is trying to build, it's the one that I really like. Same thing that Ben felt. I think the thing I like more about the film is it just feels so hopeful. It gives you so much hope in the ending. And especially the messages throughout the movie of how everyone has like a dark and light side. But if we use, something, I won't spoil it, but yeah, there's a word she uses that it makes you feel hopeful, basically. I was thinking that the movie will be, because in the trailer it made it seem like she didn't know what to do, like she's a fish out of water, and I thought mm-hmm. most of the movie would be that type of, or throughout the whole movie it'll be that type of humor, but they sprinkled in very nicely. And I like how serious the movie, especially her character, was more serious, and then mostly the side characters are the ones that are the comic relief, especially her mm-hmm. little unit that she had.
Yes.
Can you answer this to me, Amy? Is that unit like similar to like Captain America's thing, or is that just made for this movie?
So usually what happens, Steve Trevor does have a unit kind of like that.
And so
this one, it did really remind me of the Howling Commandos.
Yes, that's the other one.
And I was hoping there was going to be a Dum Dum Dugan, but there wasn't. So it was more.
What's his name? He's a redhead. Charlie character?
Charlie. I loved Sammy. I loved
Sammy. Yeah, Sammy's my favorite one.
And his name was Samir. But when he first meets Diana and Steve Trevor introduces them, and he's like, she can speak as many he can speak as many languages as you can. And then they just have that back and forth where they're swapping from one language to the other, and she bests him right at the end.
Yep, I really like that one.
It was one of my favorite scenes. It was exactly how I feel working with comics and in comic books, because I get my nerd card checked all the time, and that was literally what kind of happens, but with comic books. And so I was like, yes, Supreme Winner! But I couldn't handle it.
That's also too I like about the film that I like my favorite movie experiences, or my favorite movies are the ones where the audience are really into it, like they'll clap, or especially scenes like in Wonder Woman, there are several scenes that the audience actually clap, like the one that you guys mentioned, the No Man's Land scene when she's when the music starts and everything, and then she starts fighting. I was like, wow, that's cool, like that's the moment that everyone's waiting for. And there are even moments where so in movies, I speak to this in past episodes, I tear up when there's like a happy or hopeful moment. Mm-hmm. And there's like several scenes that I kind of teared up because it gave me hope for stuff and humanity and stuff like that. And I never done that in like the Batman versus Superman or Man of Steel or whatever, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad.
But this one managed to do that. And I was really happy that they got that message out. And there was also like some social things they talk about that they mention, but they don't really dive into it, about certain characters, how like some of them are corrupted, but they're trying to fix that still and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, I just really like the movie, and I kind of want to rewatch the movie because I was kind of like half tired because I didn't sleep that well. And it was pretty long. I didn't expect it to be that long. And then I was really... I was like, wow, this is almost 3 hours or two and a half hours.
Two and a half hours. It's a beast. If you're tired, you're not going to make it through that.
Especially because I got there like 20 minutes early. So, you know, to get my food and everything. But I love how it was just a full auditorium and everyone just enjoying themselves. I just really like it. And I really am looking forward to when they make the sequel to this, what's their next adventure. I'm assuming they'll do it modern day, so I want to see how she is in the modern day as a character.
Yeah, I think that was one of my qualms, and I brought it up very politely, that they're in the wrong world war. Mm-hmm. And so they have her in World War One, which technically that's not where she met Steve, and so it's supposed to be the other one. And it helped bring her up to speed faster. It also paralleled her creator's timeline, because when he had initially designed and created her, it was after the Second World War. And so it was something that he could speak to and drive her character towards and transition her into modern times a lot faster. So I think for Wonder Woman 2, they might do something along that, either that line, the Second War, or they might, you know, throw her into the 80s or the 90s. I would love to see her portrayed then, because for the most part, she was, a 60s and a 70s kind of gal. And then
that would be so cool to see that time, especially the clothes and everything, what she'll go through.
Yeah. And how she ended up, where she ended up, because... right now, if I recall, the opening for the sequel, or the opening for the entire movie, is in a country in Europe. And so that makes me kind of wonder, on the grand map of the DCU, if she's in Europe-ish area, where's Gotham in relation to that?
Yeah. And then I'm wondering too, because she's in Europe, and watching the previous films, I didn't know that's her home place, like that area. I was like, oh, she's from there the whole time. I thought she'll be with Bruce the whole time, but no, she has like a place to protect too. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like everyone has their own little places to be the protector for.
Yeah.
I think overall we all liked it. Wait, did my brother say he left already?
Yes, he said he left, and he left you in charge.
Oh, so for the listeners, my brother went. He left early. So I'm here to end the podcast. I don't have my notes up. So he usually has like notes saying goodbye to everything. Let me pull this up real quick. Okay, I got it. So thank you, Amy New Nag. Am I saying that one?
Yeah, there you go.
I feel weird because my brother's been saying it the whole time. I feel like we should have both said it when you were announcing it earlier.
Oh, so it's just fine.
Then he put me on the spot. I was like, oh, I don't usually end the episodes. That's why I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, thank you again. Is there anything you want to plug, or you have any Twitter or?
Oh yeah, we can brace ourselves for my outro. Totally. Yes. So thank you guys for having me. I know Ben, you'll hear this when you get around to it. Once again, you can find me on the Cracking the Vault podcast at crackingthevaultpodcast.com. And then there's a Twitter and a Facebook and an Instagram that goes with all of that. And then also there's the capelesscrusaders.com, and you can find those handles. The Capeless, we are not the Capeless Crusader, or I think it's the Capeless Crusade is another Twitter that's not ours, where the Capeless was. Yeah, we had a mix up with somebody and it got a little hinky. So we are the Capeless Ones, and then the Capeless Crusaders on Instagram, on Facebook, and Twitter is the Capeless Ones. But you can find me personally at IJUrobot on varying social medias if you want to see what I've been doing, or you can check out Empire's Comics Vault Instagram. I run those on Mondays because that's where I work. And then Oblivion Comics and Coffee, which is Oblivion Comics and Coffee on all the social medias. And I'm working there full time. So if you come harass me, I might be scared, but I'll be okay.
So I also listen to Video Game Bang.
Yes, and you, Corey, they mentioned
yes. I think you helped co-host when during the opening of Oblivion for a little bit, and they mentioned that you worked at like a candy shop.
Yes, I also work at Lolly and Pops up in Roseville. It's I've
been there many times, and I wonder if we actually like exchange money or something like that. And then never knew. So I was like, oh, that's cool, like that. My wife likes the European chocolate there and stuff like that. That's the only place that she can find it. That's why. Yeah. So that's a neat, nice place.
Yeah, Lolly and Pops prides itself on having sweets from around the world and sharing sweetness with the community. So it's a really, I have literally the best of almost all the worlds.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
you do.
I'm a comic book manager, I podcast, and then I work in a candy store. And if all else fails, I can butter people up with candy and then lead them into conversations about comic books and TV and movies. And I get paid for it. I mean, it's fantastic.
I'm very jealous of all your But thank you. You can check out my brother, Benjamin Abaya, at Benjamin Abaya on Twitter. You can check me out on Twitter at Abaya Arts. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at contact@thefreakingawesome.com, or you can go on thefreakingawesome.com. It has all our episodes from, I think it only has like the last 20 episodes on there. But yeah. Thank you again, Amy, and I hope you can join us later. Like if we do another episode about something, you can join us.
I would absolutely love to, John.
Thank you. I don't know how he usually ends it. I'm trying to remember how he does it. I know he doesn't say just goodbye or whatever, but that was the episode. So I guess come back and listen to us later. Bye, guys. That was a freaking awesome podcast.